Turn to Genesis 40, continuing on with the story of Joseph. Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. Excuse me. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. And one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" They said to him, "We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream there was a vine before us, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, "I also had a dream. There were three cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating out of it, out of the basket on my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. In 3 days Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him."
Before we get into our chapter here, I just want to say a quick word about the crisis response team there in Texas. I'm glad we're part of a denomination that helps people. And we have a branch of our mission that mobilizes folks to help people in need. 2005 was Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. I had the opportunity in our church in Watertown, Minnesota, to go there. And it was interesting, the people's response, and it wasn't just our group or our church or even our denomination, but when the media asked the people of New Orleans, you know, how did you get through this? I mean, where did the help come from? It came from lots of different places, but they said the number one place it came from was the church. People from all over our country and even other countries got to New Orleans and said, "We will help you." A couple years later, our church sent a team. I got to go again to Galveston. Same thing, another hurricane. And what it does is what we're going to kind of talk about today. When there's people that help you, it gives you hope that this is not the end. You can get through this. I'm here with you. Let's keep going. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when dreams come true at last, there is life and joy. I bet you, somewhere along the line, you have lived that proverb. You had dreams, hopes, plans. This is how I think things are going to go. Maybe with your home or your family, about college or your kids, or you're starting a new business, or your health concerns. And as time goes by, your hopes and your dreams fade. And you're not sure what's going to happen. And the proverb says it makes your heart sick. Emotionally, you lose your enthusiasm. Physically, you lose sleep. You don't have an appetite. Your energy is kind of zapped. It can affect you socially. You're kind of crabby. You don't treat people very nicely because there's stuff going on. And spiritually, you feel distant from God. God, where are you in the midst of my dreams? But the second half of that proverb says this. But when dreams come true at last, there's life and joy. There is an end. But how do you keep going in the meantime? That's where we're at with our story of Joseph. When your dreams fade, what do you do? Chapter 37, Joseph had a dream, two dreams actually, about his family bowing down to him, that he would be a leader over them. And how did his family respond to that dream? They didn't really appreciate that, did they? His 10 brothers sold him into slavery. Get rid of that dreamer. And he's gone. Last week was chapter 39, where Joseph did everything right when the boss's wife tried to seduce him. He resisted, he ran, he said, I'm not going to do this. And he ends up in prison, falsely accused. That's where we pick up our story. Because it looks like, at least from Joseph's viewpoint, that's the end. Okay, I guess I'm just going to fade away and be forgotten here in prison. Well, what do you and I do when our dreams fade? Well, here's the main point this morning. When your dreams fade, you trust God. That sounds like a pastor answer, doesn't it? Just trust God. Well, what do we mean by that? We kind of instinctively sort of know that, right? We shouldn't give up. But how do we do that? Our chapter today, our story is going to give us three actions. Three things we can do to trust God when our dreams start to fade. Now, not necessarily easy, but we have a choice. Okay. We can do that. Here's the first one. If you're following along, if you'd like to take notes, there's an outline there on the back of the prayer requests in the bulletin. First is that you be spiritual. And by that I mean you need to be God-centered and not self-centered. You need to walk by faith, not by sight. Don't just look at the physical surroundings, but consider the spiritual dimensions and factors in all of that. So what do? Well, you need to believe God. I think that's a challenge. When our dreams start to fade, it can be a challenge to say, well, okay, but I'm going to still believe God. Well, believe God for what? believe that God is still at work. He's at work around us. Joseph's in prison, and one day, two new prisoners arrive. And not just anybody, but high officials. The chief butler, or cupbearer of the Pharaoh, he's responsible for the vineyards and the wine and all, and everything that the king, the Pharaoh, would drink. That it would be safe and it would be good and high quality, that's his job. The chief baker, of course, he's responsible for all the food. Well, we don't know what, but something happened, right? It says in verse 1, they offended their master. So Pharaoh says, well, take him away. We'll throw him in prison while we investigate. Figure this out. It just so happens that he puts them, verse 3, in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. Who is the captain of the guard? We met him last week. His name is Potiphar. Oh, just so happens. And it's in the same prison where Joseph was confined. I think it adds a little bit of credence to the hypothesis that Potiphar knew in his heart that Joseph was innocent. And so he may have even had a part in sort of building a bridge between the guy in charge of the prison and Joseph, because we're going to see Joseph is trusted by the guard and the prisoner, to kind of take care of everything. So God's at work. God doesn't necessarily announce it. Hey, watch, here's what I'm doing. But Joseph says, well, I'm going to believe God to work around me. I got to really believe God's going to work in me. If you remember, Joseph kind of, I think, sort of had a soft life growing up. And if God's really going to use him, God's going to have to toughen him up a little bit. Joseph, remember, while his brothers were out working hard, he was kind of at home with his fancy coat and had more of a life of ease. Well, God, those days are over, and God's been working in Joseph, in his character, and shaping him and training him and developing him. Verse 6, Joseph came to these two high officials, and he saw they were dejected. Now, I don't know if most prisoners are happy every day in prison. It's probably not an unusual thing to be sad in prison. But Joseph noticed there was something different, something bothering these guys. Joseph looked beyond his own tears and problems and reached out. God's going to work in Joseph, isn't he? Joseph didn't blame God. He could have said, you know, God, it's your fault I'm here. I mean, you gave me these dreams. I told my dreams to those closest to me, my family, and then I ended up in slavery. And then I did the right thing and resisted temptation, and now I'm here in prison. God, I've done the right thing all the way along. It's your fault that I'm in this mess. We never see Joseph say that. Blame God or be bitter or go away from God. No, he continues to trust God. I hope that that's an encouragement to you and me. That when life sort of falls apart, we don't fall apart. We keep trusting God. Maybe it's not terrible like prison, but maybe things just aren't working out like we thought they would. But we continue to be spiritual and trust God and believe that God is at work with our family, with our finances, with our the joy that God gives us each and every day. So there's a way to believe God. We see that he also serves God. So he asks him, you know, why are you so sad? And lo and behold, the thing that's troubling these two guys is not that they're in prison so much, it's their dreams. We both have dreams, but we don't know what they mean. We need somebody to interpret them. Well, don't interpretations belong to God? He's not forgotten God. Tell me your dreams. See, most of us, when we're going through difficult times, we're sort of focused on ourselves. Maybe in self-pity, or we're certainly not worried or looking to minister to somebody else. It's just all about us. But that wasn't Joseph. Joseph noticed, he asked, he offered, he's going to serve them. Now, he's not trying to work an angle here. He doesn't know what the dreams are. He's just not serving himself. He's serving God by serving these people. So there's the first thing, the first action. When our dreams start to fade, we need to trust God. How do we do that? Well, be spiritual. Second, be faithful. When our dreams start to fade, that sort of challenges our faithfulness, doesn't it? It's like, well, what's the use? And you want to give in. Or maybe even just give up. Forget it. This isn't worth it. Be faithful. Faithful to what? Well, faithful to God, okay. Well, let's look. Be faithful to God's ministry. God's given you something. He has you in a certain place to do something. Be faithful to that. In the Bible, there's only two Israelites that are involved in this kind of a ministry where they interpret dreams. Joseph, here in Egypt. And the other guy was a guy named Daniel in Mesopotamia. That was part of his ministry that God gave him to interpret dreams. So they tell him his dream, right? He says, well, I saw a vine in front of me, and there were three branches, and then I squeezed the grapes, and it went into Pharaoh's cup. And he's just, you know, recounting what he dreamt. I'm amazed that Joseph even wants anything to do with dreams. He could have said, oh boy, dream, here we go again. That's what got me in trouble in the first place. I don't want anything to do with dreams. Tell somebody else. Keep them to yourself. What's it to me? But no. Here's the ministry God's given him. He's going, okay, I'll be faithful as I can. Tell me your dream. Well, then he says, here's what it means. And it's this first dream has a positive outcome. 3 days, you're going to be out of prison here and restored to your position. And then in verse 14, he says, but when all goes well with you, remember me. Show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh. Get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of Hebrews. You know, I don't belong here. And even here, I've done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. Now, nothing wrong with Joseph to do that, to appeal to him and say, hey, when you get out, remember me. But in the meantime, Joseph is just going to be as faithful as he can. Well, most of us, that's not our ministry, interpreting dreams, is it? It's something else. Maybe it's your ministry here at church. Maybe God's given you a ministry with your family, at work, in your neighborhood. You volunteer with another organization. Well, how's that going? Are you faithful? Now, I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to be faithful when things are going well. Well, they're cooking along, and yeah, not too bad. This is good. It's when things are hard. That's when the faithfulness factor sort of kicks in, doesn't it? Okay, I got to be faithful. So parents, keep parenting your kids, no matter how old they are. Debbie and I have three kids. They're all adult kids, and we're discovering that parenting adult children, it's a little different, but it has its challenges. And we just need to keep being faithful as parents. Stay faithful at work, your job. Whatever God's called you to do, even when people don't show appreciation or really recognize, you're doing a great job, you're so faithful, we can count on you. Sometimes we get that, and that's good. Sometimes we don't. Well, stay faithful to that ministry. We're also going to see that Joseph is faithful to God's message. Here's another dream, a second dream from the other guy, the baker. He's like, ooh, that was a good dream that my friend had. I hope this is good for me. Not so good. Says, yeah, I'll interpret it. Verse 18, here's what it means. Three baskets, 3 days again. So both of these guys are going to get out of prison in 3 days. But within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole. Ooh, that doesn't sound good. And the birds will eat away your flesh. You're going to die. Now, who wants to deliver that message? Joseph could have lied to him. He could have just made something up, right? The baker never would have known. Plus, in 3 days, it's not going to matter anyway. He's going to be dead. So Joseph could have said anything. But he didn't. He was faithful to the message that God had given him. And that's the picture that we have of Joseph. That wherever he is, whatever tasks or ministry that God has kind of assigned him, Joseph is faithful. He's faithful to that ministry. He's faithful to the message. So, for instance, when you're sharing the gospel with somebody, sometimes that can be difficult and challenging, or they don't understand it. And for some Christians, the temptation is, I'll just change the message. I'll make it easier. I won't talk about sin or whatever. And you change the gospel message. Don't do that. Can't do that. You can change the method by which you share the gospel. There's lots of methods to do that, right? But the gospel message of Jesus, of sin, of repentance, of our accepting of that by faith, you can't change the gospel. You've got to stay faithful to that. Are you the kind of friend, for instance, that your friends can count on you to tell them the truth, even if it hurts? You're not going to change the message God gives you. Now, you're not going to be mean or vindictive or whatever, but they can count on you to give them words that may hurt a little, but ultimately heal and help them. That's the kind of friend you need to be. That kind of a faithful servant. So when your dreams fade, Joseph, what would you tell us? You'd say, well, be spiritual. and be faithful. One more action. Be hopeful. See, when our dreams start to fade, that's a challenge. You know, what hope do we have? Well, why should I keep going? What is there? What hope does Joseph have? Well, let's look. Now, the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. How about that? Birthday parties in the Bible. That goes back a long ways, doesn't it? He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. That means at the party, this was a great opportunity for them to sort of come forward, and Pharaoh's going to publicly announce, remember those guys were in prison and we kind of did an investigation or whatever. Whatever happened with that? Well, here they are. Let me tell you. Verse 21. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. No, that guy was innocent. He's got his job back. Here he is. But he impaled the chief baker. There's a party downer, if I've ever heard one. Just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. Pharaoh didn't have any scruples about, hey, I'm the one in charge. This guy, whatever, was apparently guilty of something, and we're getting rid of him. That was the interpretation, and sure enough, it was God's interpretation. It came true. So Joseph is hoping, right, that in 3 days, right, that was the dream with both these guys, in 3 days, the baker, or the butler, rather, is going to mention his name. That was his request. Hey, when you get out, remember me, to mention my name. So I can see Joseph in prison. Those first couple days, he gets up, and every time the door opens, he kind of runs to the door. Then after a few more days, he just walks to the door. Then more time goes by, and he doesn't even get up. He just looks toward the door. And as even more time goes by, he doesn't even look. And he realizes what he suspected all along, that your ultimate hope is not in people. He helped the guy, and it wouldn't be that hard of a thing to just mention me. But what happened? Last verse. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Why? Because he had a bad memory? Probably not. It was only 3 days. Maybe he was afraid to mention it to Pharaoh. He didn't want to dig up an old wound. He was like, I'm just not going to mention it. Maybe he just kind of determined to forget it. Man, I'm forgetting everything about that prison. Or maybe he was just so enamored about himself and so glad to be out of there that he just forgot about everything else. We don't know. But he didn't remember Joseph. And we're going to see the next chapter. Joseph is in prison 2 more years. 2 more years of waiting and hoping. Now, Joseph doesn't know that, of course. He just is going to have to live day by day by day. Some of you are probably there. You waited even more than just 2 years. You've prayed many prayers, and they still seemingly haven't been answered. And you're waiting for God to work and wondering, when is something going to happen? And you may try to even, you know, sort of get yourself out of that prison by doing something, but then you realize that's not going to even work either. Why is that? Well, I don't know. I was appreciated the words from this pastor and author, James Montgomery Boyce, on his commentary in Genesis. He says this. So I don't know the whole answer, but when we are helped by another person, we are naturally grateful to that person and see them as a cause of our good fortune. But when we failed in all human ways, right, we tried everything humanly possible and none of it works, but then are delivered by God, we are filled with a holy awe of God and find ourselves to be deeply delighted in Him. And that end may be worth many years of suffering. Hope. Lots of good reasons to be hopeful. But our hope is not ultimately in people. Probably see where this last point is going. Our ultimate hope, of course, is in God, right? Now, God gave Joseph the ability to predict someone else's future, but it never says God gave him the ability to predict his own future. Joseph doesn't know how this is all going to work out, right? God hadn't given him that ability or gift. So Joseph, just like you and me, we live day by day and we keep going. Well, God, are you at work? I'm here in prison. Doesn't seem like anything's happening. Well, if you review our story quick, God was at work, wasn't he? He had two of Pharaoh's officers in prison at the same time. And at the same time, Joseph was in prison. And Joseph was put in their service, kind of to watch over them. And Joseph notices that something's bothering them. Well, that's not all, quote, coincidence. That's God at work, weaving all the pieces together, all the threads of the story. Joseph's experience taught him, you know, not to trust in man ultimately, but to trust in God. He's going to have to do that, isn't he? Two more years. Now, we know that Joseph's going to get out of prison and everything's going to be okay. But Joseph doesn't know that. He's just trying to do the best he can each day. But really, all he sees is just another kick in the mouth, another reason to give up and let your dreams just fade away and say, God has totally forgotten about me. But he doesn't do that, does he? So let me just close with a couple quick reminders of application here. What do we learn from Joseph? I think one lesson we can learn is don't let bitterness take root in your heart. Boy, if anybody could have been bitter, it could have been Joseph, right? Bitter against God, his brothers, the slave masters, Potiphar, Mrs. Potiphar. I mean, you know, the list could go on and on. But we don't see that with Joseph. I think another lesson is when you're in a situation like that, you don't turn against God, but you turn toward God even more. God, I need your help. God, give me wisdom. God, help me. Do you know the name John Bunyan? He was an English preacher and author. He wrote the best-selling book, Pilgrim's Progress. There's a movie out about that even now. Here's what he wrote. He was trying to be as faithful as he could to the message and ministry God had given him, but he was thrown in prison himself. He was in prison 12 years. It's in the prison that's where he started writing this book, Pilgrim's Progress. Here's what he says. Bless you, prison, because it was there that God became real. I think ultimately Joseph could say something like that. Bless you, prison, because it was there God became real. Now, you and I, our world is not filled with dungeons and dreams. Your fading dreams come in different packages, no doubt. And whatever form it takes, it kind of hurts. There's disappointment. There's discouragement. There's defeat. And some days you just want to give up. Let me encourage you. Don't give up. God hasn't given up. God hasn't given up on you or your situation. And so trust God. How? Be spiritual. Be faithful. And be hopeful. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you know each of our situations, exactly what we're going through. Stuff going on the outside, even things going on the inside of our thoughts and our feelings and our fears and everything. Thanks that you're the kind of God that knows all that and still loves and accepts us and wants to be our God, especially in the midst of difficult times. So, Lord, help us to trust you. Thanks for the encouragement and example of a guy like Joseph. Help us deal with our own dreams. So, Lord, we're quick to give you praise and thanks for all that you're doing, and even in advance for all you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.